Oh, it's okay. It's okay to praise Jesus. It's okay to praise God in your circle. You know, here's the thing. It's okay to praise God in your circle just when everybody else isn't doing it. It's still okay. You know why? Because Christ is King. And that's why we came here today is to find Him and to be closer to Him and to worship Him. But if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Romans. I want you to turn to the 10th chapter. And we're going to read 21 verses out of Romans. And it's we're going to read basically the whole chapter. And before we read, let's open with prayer. Lord, we thank You. God, we thank You for Your word, Lord. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to our heart, Lord. When we read this, God, I pray that You would move us in such a way, Lord, that it would be unforgettable. God, I pray that the people here today would be receptive to Your word, Lord. Lord, and if there'd be a lost one here today, Lord, that today would be the day that they turn their life over to You, God. God, if there be people here today that just basically, Lord, need to have the conversation with You to set their life back right, God, that have enough confidence, Lord, in You to come down here, Lord, and pray to You and ask for it. Lord, I pray that You'd move, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would speak. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right, let's go to Romans 10. We're going to start in verse 1. And like I said, we're going to read the whole chapter. It's, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or saith, who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe if in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Elisha said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? For Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are not or no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Elisha is very bold and saith, I was found of them, sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, I know that's a lot of scripture to read, but really what's happening there is Paul is talking to a group of people, and he's writing down his words, and his main goal is right off the bat, he's wanting his own people to be saved. He's wanting his own people to turn to Jesus. And he noticed that there was a faith problem with the Israelites. And that's what he noted. That's what he starts right off the bat with. And then he also says that Israel had a zeal for God, but it wasn't depending on their faith in God. See, they were creating their own righteousness because they were just following the rules. What they were lacking was submission to the Lord. That's where they were off. See, the Israelites wanted to be righteous, but it comes by grace through God. There's nothing that they could have ever done to be righteous on their own. There was no way for them to gain it. Paul even says that Jesus is the end of the law, and you could actually use that word end right there as goal. Jesus, the goal of the law, the result of righteousness for all who believe. And this is, you know, I've heard young people say this before, and I'm a little off topic here. Especially, I have some friends of mine that are a little bit younger than I am have said this. You know, I would believe and follow God if I could just have a sign. You know, something that God's real. Well, can I say the sign that God's given that He is real is Jesus Christ. That's what it is. You know, when people say, well, I need God to make Himself apparent to me. I need Him to show Himself to me. Well, He did that. Through Jesus Christ. That's our example. That's what we have. And Paul's talking about that. He said, righteousness must be given by Christ. It's not something that they were going to earn. You know, the truth is, the Israelites were trying to follow the rules, and we all look at it and say, why are you trying to follow the rules? Why don't you just submit to Christ? You know, sometimes we have the same problem. God was trying to have mercy on them. God had given them mercy through Jesus. God had revealed Himself not just to the Israelites, but to the world through Jesus. Paul's telling them, say, look, you can't earn it. It's just simply being made available to you. It's not a hidden thing. Jesus is not the hidden way to the Lord. It's the out in the open way to the Lord. It's the one that every person will see. You know, when Paul even talks about, you know, salvation is the only way to Jesus. That's what he's saying here. If there's no other way. It's a uniform requirement that we all have one way to God, and it's Jesus. The requirement is uniform. But everybody's invited. That's where I get excited about this whole thing. Everybody's excited. Everybody's invited. Nobody is exempt from going to heaven. Everyone is invited to be there. But here's the thing. Not everybody's going to accept. Not everybody that hears the gospel is going to say, Lord, yes, I will. Lord, I will surrender to you. They won't do that. But see, Paul's concerned with his own people were rejecting God. See, in Isaiah 53:1, it says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Look, God's arms are outstretched. They were then, they are now. They may not be forever. They will not be forever. But Jesus Christ had been made known to a group of people. And again, Paul was speaking to them. And they were guilty of just following the law. They hadn't submitted to Jesus. Truth is, they weren't listening. In verse 19, basically, Paul says they didn't understand. And in verse 21, God says He's got His outreached hand to the disobedient and to the stubborn. But do you remember, and I want you to raise your hand if you do, do you remember that video that we watched? They had the brick church in the background and the English guy. They had the really cool accent. Do you remember that? That was a great video, and it was powerful, and I liked it. But he said a line in that video that really stuck in my mind. What he did was he said, Christian, why are you trying to live your best life now? Why are you trying to live your best life right now? And I thought, I think I understand. But the truth is, the believer's life The best life that the believer is going to have is not right now. The best life that we'll have is after we die, when we'll be with the Lord forever. You know, sometimes, and most of the time, a believer is going to have bumps and speed bumps and even stumps in the road throughout your life. Now, you know, I know that all you guys are, most of you are in high school, some of you are in middle school. But do you find that it's sometimes when you're a Christian that not everybody's on board? You know, sometimes it creates waves. Sometimes it creates problems that you may have to deal with, you know, really right then. That's not the best life. You know, that's a hard part of life. I'm going to go to school every single day, and I'm supposed to be the Christian that God called me to be, but not everybody's on my side about it. So how am I going to live my best life here? The truth is, you can't. You can't do it. What I'm looking forward to, and there are people in this room that are closer than I am, at least I think so. Who knows what will happen between now and the ripe old age of 40. But this is the thing. I'm looking forward to the life that I'm going to spend with the Lord forever. And that's going to be the best. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love Him." That explains it right there. So when you get discouraged and you get down and you say, "God, I just wish it was better," sometimes you just got to remember, it's going to be better on the other side, but it may be rough here. It may just be that way. And you look at the life of Jesus while He walked on this earth, you know, and He was still King on earth, in flesh. But at the same time, He didn't come in and dwell in castles. What did Jesus do? Jesus come in, and He did the hard stuff. He did the stuff that was difficult. And men followed Him. And you know, in reality, what He's doing is He's calling us to follow Him too. You know, the Bible says, "Take up your cross daily and follow Me." I heard this also said this week. A common issue is, we've all heard that scripture, but sometimes our question is, what cross? Sometimes we don't have the cross that we need. So there's a huge blessing to be born in America. To be born in America means that most likely you're going to get the best education, the best health care, and let's face it, the best food on the face of the planet. But what good does that do if you're raised in America and you have the best life possible that you could possibly have, but you never accept Jesus Christ? Your life has become, in reality, a failure at that point. Will we believe that Jesus is the way? You know, and we have also heard over and over in that same video, we heard surrender with your heart. You know, surrender with your heart is something that we might say in our head, but surrender with your heart is something that you really have to do with your life. And that's reality. Sometimes it's difficult to put God first in this world. But a life without Jesus is a failure. But now let's talk about the real stuff. Me and you, the stuff that where that scripture meets our lives. There's four things that lead to failure that we're going to talk about today. The four things that cause us to stumble were the Israelites that Paul were talking about, saying you're following the rules, but you're really rejecting Jesus here. You won't follow Him. It's the me first attitude. The me first attitude is like this. It's not, I'm going to do just whatever I want to do, but I'm going to do it my way. You know, I live with Tracy over there, and y'all know her. And I've been accused of being hard-headed. And I don't know how accurate that is. But she says, you've just got to have it your way. And I said, what do you mean by that? She goes, you won't hear my, When I'm telling you that something needs to be different, it's always got to be your way. Now, I'm not like that as bad as I used to be. And I think that you can vouch for me on this. I'm not as bad as I used to be. But you know what that led to? When I wouldn't budge, it led to arguments. It led to arguments because I was stubborn. But that's what it is. It's the me first attitude. I'm going to serve God my way is one of those me first things. And if you look at the Israelites, what they were doing is they were saying, I'm going to follow these commandments. And I believe that you should follow those commandments. I'm not saying don't do that. But Jesus is first. That's what we're looking for is Him. Jesus is first. Why do you follow the commandments? Because Jesus said do it. You know, it's my way first, my desire first. Then I can do whatever else that needs to be done, but it's my way first. See, that's how people end up confused in life. When you say it's my way. Let's face it, there's an epidemic going on around the nation, even in your schools, where children can't make up their mind which bathroom they want to use. Do you believe what I'm saying? Have you seen that? I'm not sure which one of these I'm supposed to go into. I was under the impression God made it very evident in your life. Sometimes it's, what TV show do I want to watch? My wife and I can't watch TV anymore with my children, and here's why. Because every single TV show on the mainstream now you turn on has some form of homosexuality in it. I can't show my kids that. There go 60-day stretches where our TV doesn't turn on other than the Xbox. It turns on for that. They can become confused of which group to hang out with. Which clothes to wear. But all those things are really obvious. And we know those. But what about the things that aren't so obvious? You know, the me first attitude. How about when it's time to come to Sunday school? And hey, let's be real. When you wake up on Sunday morning, and I've seen your faces when you come in, and everybody looks like this. Oh, I'm so sleepy. Why are you sleepy? Because I was up till 4. You know what? You made it. You made it. You know why I look like that on Sunday morning? Because I've probably been up to 4 for multiple nights in a row, worrying if you were coming to Sunday school. You know, when it's you first, you get to make the decision. And if you put Jesus first, I'm going to want to be at Sunday school. I'm going to want to be at church on Wednesday night. I'm going to want to be at church on Sunday. But if it's a me-first attitude, you're going to do whatever you want. How about this one? If it's a me-first attitude, are you on your own going to decide that we're going to read God's Word and what it says about us? Who reads the Bible in here on a regular basis? I know there's some of you. Yes, at least twice a week. But here's the thing. Most of you are like, but. Sometimes I read during service. But I'm not a murderer. I didn't steal anything. You know, this life's about Jesus. It's not about following those rules perfectly. In Proverbs 3:6 it says, in all your ways submit to Him and He'll make your path straight. I even submit to Him my desires. Like, you know, this sounds strange, but I found, and maybe you, this may be a shocker to you, but there's been times where I did not want to spend the time reading this book that I should have. So you know what I prayed? God, would you give me the desire to read your word? Does that not sound like a strange prayer? God, give me the desire to, I want you to help me want to read this and learn about you. You know, that's a different prayer. But you know, God bless me. And He actually give me the desire to read His Word. And I love that. The Bible says submit all your ways. And all that stuff comes easy. But second it says, but me first, because I know how to do it right. I'm in control, always. You know, I had an insult from a friend one time. My wife and I don't even think we were married yet, and a friend of mine and his wife were sitting somewhere, and I was just outside the wall in the next room, and my friend made the comment about me. He said, "You know what's wrong with Alan?" And I thought, "Something wrong with me? I thought I was perfect." He said, "Alan's on board with everything unless he don't have control." And you know what? That hurt. You know why it hurt? Because he was right. You know, it's hard to hear the truth. It's hard to hear the truth. You can't even respond because you know he's right. But me first, I know how to do it right. Always be in control. You ever met those people that are too smart to learn? You know what I'm saying? They know everything. Look, I'm a little embarrassed. I used to be that guy. You can't tell me. I already know. It didn't get me where I wanted to be. In Proverbs 26, verse 12, it speaks to that. It says, "Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them." You know, that's what Paul was writing about in Romans. He said, look, it's not about your wisdom. Put it down and turn to Jesus. That's what it's about. Surrender your heart. Surrender your heart. It's like this. Sometimes when you can't be taught anything, you think you've got it all figured out. Well, I'll tell you what. If I had it all figured out and I really thought that I had it figured out, I would get down from up here. And I could not get back up here. Because I'll be honest. You guys scare me. And I'm afraid really to speak in front of you half the time. And without God, without Jesus in my life, I'd be a nightmare. It'd be terror. I rely on the Lord every single day. But Jesus has plans for the future. And Jesus wants the surrendered heart. And third, not only is it me first and I've got it all figured out, but I've also got time. As long as I've got time, everything's going to be okay. You know, that's one thing I wish I did have more of, and that was time. How many of you feel like you don't have enough time to get the things you want done in a day? And I'm not counting the adults because I know they all feel that way. I don't have enough time. The myth that time is on your side is just that. It's just a myth. See, our lives have less time than we had yesterday. And oh, that you're all going, well, duh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, it's obvious. But here's the thing. Are you closer to Jesus today than you were last year? Do you see that a whole year went by? Yeah. We only get so many of these years and then we stop getting them. You know, they quit coming. You know, but as you get closer to Jesus, we have to put our life in His hands. You know, Solomon said something about being busy and looking for God. In Proverbs 6:6, it says this. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." You know what's funny today is, who knows what a slug is first? You know what a slug is? It's a snail, slimy looking thing. It's gross. You know how slow they move? Have you ever seen one be overtaken by ants? And they swarm it and they destroy it. And they eat it. But the ants are steady moving. But let me ask you, have you ever seen an ant standing still? I've never seen an ant standing still. Every time I look at an ant, they're moving. But Solomon said, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, and watch what he does." You know, the truth is, a lot of times in our life, we're being sluggards. And the ants are moving. And God's saying, look, I want you to move and trust in me. Don't be so lazy. You think you've got all the time in the world, but in reality, you don't. Time is slipping by. And the last of the four things that will lead to failure is get in where you fit in. Who's heard that before? You know what that statement means. Find the crowd that you fit in with best and jump right in. If you're going to listen to anything I say today, listen to this. God didn't call you to be anybody else. God called you to be you. And just because a group will accept you does not mean that that's the group you're supposed to be in. You know, be careful. Men and women have a tendency to go where they're accepted. I know a guy that talked about being in a gang when he was a young man. You know why? Because they accepted him. You know, God rescued him from that gang, but not before he got into trouble. I know another guy that got in some real bad trouble because he was fitting in with a group of people that led him down the wrong road. You know what happened to him while he was in trouble? He found the Lord. When he found the Lord, he straightened his life up. You know, God rescued that man. There's dangers. When you're in a clique, you begin to accept what that clique does. When you're in a clique, you begin to say the things they say. That's the way life goes. And if I'm going to avoid it, I've got to do what God wants me to do. I've got to follow Him, and I can't just say, I'm going to just follow the rules. It's when we come in here on Sunday morning, what are we going to tell God when we get to heaven? And if we say, well, did you love me? And you say, yes, Lord, I loved you. How all the stuff that you did for me, what'd you do? Well, I come to church on Sunday morning sometimes. And you think, oh, imagine if that was the conversation between you and God. Show me how you loved me. Well, I went to Sunday school 5 times a year. Well, what happened when you were, what if God said, what did you do during your daytime? What did you do for me then? How did you love me? Well, Lord, there were so many people around. They weren't doing it, so I couldn't either. How's that reaction going to be? But here's the 4 things that will lead you to Jesus. 1 is acknowledge what God has to offer. What's God offering? God offers mercy through Jesus Christ. That all those things that cause us to stumble and struggle every single day, God says, whoa, you can't follow the law completely. Just like at the end of the chapter, my outreached hand like this right here. That's what God's doing, reaching His hand down, and He's looking to see if we'll grab it. You know, it's easy. Put your hand out. It's easy to look at it like this right here down this side, and that's what God's doing. But imagine if you were looking back at your hand, looking up and the hand reaching down. And imagine spending a lifetime with God's outreached hand saying, child, I want you, and you never picking it up, never reaching out your hand and grabbing it. With an entirety of a lifetime with God's hands outreached. So what's God offering? God's offering mercy. He's offering a way out. He's offering peace and life and eternal life. And in Romans 13, just a few chapters from where we were just at, God says this. If you go to the 11th verse, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to turn there. All right. Romans 13, it said in verse here, in verse 11, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it was high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation, nearer then than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You know, it's time. It really is time. You know, I don't know when the Lord is coming back, but it could be today. And I want to be ready for Him. God's offering me mercy and everything that I need to spend eternity with Him. God sent Jesus to us. And the only way that we're going to get there to spend eternity with Him is through Jesus. John 14:6. We know it. It said, for I am the way, the life, the truth. No man comes to the Father but by through me. The offer's been made. And God's hand is out. And the second thing that will lead you to Jesus is the mind thinks like this, that I'm going to come to Him just like I am. I'm going to come just like I am. God's hand, again, is outstretched. You know, the Israelites, God's hand was outstretched to them too. In Isaiah 1:18, it says this, come now, Let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. And that's the great part about a true relationship with God. So many times people say, I invite them to church, and you've invited people to church, and you know, it's a little different for people that are older like me, because they'll say something like, well, I've got to get my life in order, and when I get my life together, I'll come with you. I'll go to church then. Well, as soon as I quit drinking, I'll go to church. As soon as I get my relationship with my wife right, I'll go to church. As soon as basically I quit willingly sinning, I'll come on to church. But you know, that's not what God's asking for. What's God asking for? God's saying, you come on just like you are. Don't hesitate. You come just like you are, and I'll accept you just like you are, and God will begin to clean you up. Don't follow the rules. Don't follow the rules just because you think you're going to earn your way to Him. It'll never happen. You know, really, God's interested in your heart. He's not interested in your resume. You know, we're all sinners, and He's made Himself known to us. And it's not about us. It is really about Him. You know, because it's like this. We haven't done anything. We haven't done anything for God to say, you know what? They've done such a great job that I'm going to give them Jesus. You know what He gave them? He gave us Jesus because He loved us. And we are where we are, and the only way out of this is through Him. And the third thing is, cast your cares upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. You know, like I was telling you earlier, there was a time in my life where, you know, I absolutely was just too smart to be taught. But in reality, I've learned more about me from God than I ever learned from myself. When I started putting myself in the Bible and reading, it began to speak to me. And, you know, honestly, a lot of the times I didn't like what I saw. But as I grow closer, and God begins to teach me, what I do is I discover that it's not about how good or bad I am. It's about my relationship with the Lord. See, here's the thing. God's looking for your heart. God will fix everything else. And the fourth thing, and the final, is the words in the gospel of, well, it's in John. It says, He must increase and I must decrease. You know, on our shirt, it says, He is greater than I, but you could say more of Him and less of me or any of those other things that we see. But here's the thing. Don't reject God's mercy because you want everything your way first. It just can't be that way. You know, God's got His arm pushed out there. And the question is, are you going to take it? And if we look in the third chapter of John, verse 30, it says, He must become greater and I must become less. And the truth is, He's above all. And in reality, I believe that tonight, I believe that God's speaking to somebody. He's got His arm pushed out there. It's, will we take it? And we're going to get ready to close. So if you would, stand to your feet. Tonight what we're going to do is, if you feel the need to come to the altar, I want the young ladies to come over here. And if they come down, ladies, would you wrap your arms around each other and pray for one another? And young men, if you'd come down over here to my right. And if you love one another, put your hands on each other and pray for one another. And the truth is, if God's speaking to your heart, the best thing we could do is respond to Him. We could listen and take what He's offered. Play your song.